Ghostly Talk! Oh, yes, I'm ready. We're broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan. This is Ghostly Talk on 111. Yes, that is January 11th, 2009.
You just blew me away with that, Doug. Ghostly Talk is independently produced every Sunday night from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern.
And what do we do here?
To converse about all things paranormal.
All right.
For more info,
things
go to
related, which is everything. Which is pretty much everything. What's our website?
For more info, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
Oh, we're running out of time.
Tonight, Eugene and Mary Yeltsin join us to talk about their cheeky and interactive resources on all things ghost-related for children called Ghost Files. We catch Falling Stars with Victoria Kelly. And finally, Paul Sherman and Kevin Knight from Truth and Paranormal Science joins us.
Cold tundra like landscape here of Michigan.
Yeah.
This is your number one source for independent paranormal talk.
Wow, that sounded all fancy.
No info.
That was really cool.
No infomercials.
We're not selling the thing.
It's dices. Hidden cash.
You know, I heard another radio host.
Slice through a man's sternum in one swift motion.
Speaking of which, you know, there's that. You know, you guys are that.
The Lorena Bobbitts of the world are looking for that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kidding. You've seen those towels they have. I don't even know what the name of it is, but there's that creepy guy with
yes.
the stupid faux hawk and the stupid
yes.
headphone thing.
Yeah.
There's this towel.
What are they? Wait a minute. They're called like.
The Whammo Wham or some
Whammy Jam.
Shamwow
or whatever. Yeah. And I thought this. I heard another radio host from. And I'm copping his stuff. I'm sorry, but it was hysterical. They were talking about this thing the other day. It's a local guy, local people here in Detroit. Mike in the Morning. I'll say it.
Yep.
My morning show I listen to. Doug knows this. I listen to him every morning. And they were talking about this thing. And Mike's like, well, they say you can wash the thing, but wait a minute. If you put it in a washing machine, won't you suck up the whole washing machine?
That was hilarious. You're trying to move it into the dryer, but it weighs 47,000 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, this thing is like it's like the black hole of our planet. This thing just sucks every liquid substance, anything, you name it.
As soon as you touch it, all your, we're what, 80% water or something?
Yeah. Gone. It just touches you. You can't, don't let it touch you. You'll be this shriveled up, you know, a little 10-pound... On my second thought, that might be a good idea. Wait a minute. We might be onto something here. Shammy whams for everybody. Just come around. Yes, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I'm Doug.
And I'm frightened. Yeah. Conversation.
The shammy wham.
Shamwow.
Wow sham. So, yeah, that's
you know,
so, we'll lead
I remember,
off with that.
I remember the original shammy commercials because I am 400 years old.
Right.
And... you know, eventually they were not an only TV offer. Back then we didn't even have cable. They were on, do you remember Channel 20?
Yes, I do.
Thriller double feature every Saturday afternoon.
They would advertise on Channel 20 because that was like the 25. Cheapest advertising.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And
it still is. For our friends in Detroit, you get the joke.
And eventually it made it to like Cunningham's. That was a drugstore kind of
thing. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that too.
They were like the current like series of stores that start with W's. There's Walgreens, Walmart. The other thing.
Yeah.
You know, Wally World,
Mr. Walton, give us $10,000 for that plug, please. Yes. Thank you.
There's all the walls. And, well, the Cunningham's was kind of like that.
Yeah.
They had everything. You could get, you know, a snowplow and pretzels.
Yeah.
If you wanted.
Yeah.
And your prescription filled. Mm. So, it was amazing. And, they got them in. And so I bought some and, yeah, no. They were nothing like advertised.
They don't do everything they say they're gonna do.
No,
they don't suck everything up.
No,
like,
no.
If you dump a whole 2 liter of soda on the floor, it just won't suck it all right up, and you'll suck 3 liters out of the floor.
Stop using the word suck.
Well, I'm just talking about
thrust.
I'm talking about.
Oh wait, that's the.
Well, speaking of thrust.
Oh yeah,
all right, you're gonna be doing this again this week.
This is gonna be the best half hour ever.
Speaking of thrust, we were actually talking about this on the porch before the show.
Yes, we were. We were talking about thrust before the show.
Yeah, we were. Well, weekend events, we actually, me and Amber and I, we went out to the Extreme Monster Truck Nationals last night.
Yes.
As if you're a dedicated listener, all two of you out there who dedicatedly listen to the
both
show.
Both of you. Yeah.
Both of you. You'll know that I'm on this monster truck kick right now.
And so Mamel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like going to every show I can here that I can drive to. So, we went to this thing last night, and one of the features they had, along with the big, you know, massive trucks that were there, just destroying everything in sight, was this retired Army colonel who was like an engineer for the Army, and he made this Jeep, jet powered Jeep.
Right? Wow, a jet powered
jet powered Jeep.
Because you need those.
Now this guy gets the brass tacks award. Like I mentioned to you, Doug, because he. This jet engine literally just goes the whole length of the Jeep. It's built into the Jeep, right?
Right.
And the guy drives with this thing like it's an armrest for him. The jet engine it's an armrest. He drives and he has his little armrest right there. I'm surprised there isn't a coffee thing with your coffee somewhere also. But
I wonder what kind of noise canceling headphones he has in that Jeep. Because
I think he's deaf. He has to be deaf because what they said is this guy he broke some land speed record with this thing out in the desert somewhere like over 300 miles an hour. He took this Jeep up too.
Wow.
And this thing isn't in a roll cage or anything. It's just a Jeep.
Yeah.
You don't have the, like, plastic cover.
Sticking out the front
and
back.
Yeah. Well, it's the back only.
The back. Okay.
But it's like, there's like no roll cage. It's just a Jeep with this
it's
guy
essentially,
sitting
there. There's a jet engine.
And he's wearing, well, he's
with
in
a Jeep around it.
Yeah, pretty much. And he has, like, his army fatigues on, too.
Yeah.
He has, like, helmet and stuff, like he's going into war. And he fires, and the announcer said, he's like, you know, okay, guys, we're going to show you how this thing runs and stuff. It's really cool. We're warning you, it's going to get very loud in here. I'm like, yeah. Say, and I already have earplugs on, you know, those trucks do get kind of loud.
Right.
Unlike Amber, who just thinks every concert we go to, any loud event, she just goes there bare-eared. She don't care, right? And she went in talking like this when we come out, but, you know. So,
what?
Yeah.
What?
So she fires this thing up, though, and, you know, people out there, I'm sure there's people out there familiar with the jet engine, the propulsion system on there, the thrust system on them, right?
Right.
Where they take in the air, and it pushes out this thing, right? And I can only describe it as the loudest thing I've ever heard.
Wow.
The sky was falling when he fired this thing up. The guy, what they said is the thing can push out approximately 5,000 horsepower, which is just ridiculous, right? And he fired this thing up and drove it around the stadium in front of us and stuff like that. And it was... Well, what like I told you, Doug, Amber's like, I have my camera, and I'm taking pictures of all the cool stuff, and Amber's like, well, take a picture of the thing. I'm like, I can't focus right now. It's my brain is pulsating in my skull. It made me retarded for a second, I think. It was so friggin' loud, man. He just drove it around there. He pointed the snout out the back and flamed it out to us. It was like, right. A 30-foot flame out of this thing. Singed the hairs of all of us in the front, you know, the front couple rows where we were at, because we rolled like that, right?
Right.
And like, it was just the most unheard of thing. I can't believe they put it in this little stadium, but it was cool. But so, yeah, totally speaking amazing. Of thrusting, that there you go, the ultimate.
Well,
thrust.
Colonel Clink or whatever. Your name
I gotta
is.
Look
Good
it up.
Job.
I gotta look it up. I can probably look it up if you guys want to check this thing out. Maybe a second.
Really, I'm not that into it.
Jet powered. I'm not talking about you.
I, on the other hand, yesterday was in a snowstorm.
Who wasn't?
Well, that's true.
In a snowstorm.
It was miserable. It took me 2 hours to drive 38 miles to go to Windsor, and that.
I think this might be it right here.
Is that going through? Is that...
Yeah, it is. It's totally killing.
Oh, it's cool! It's a lot cuter than I thought it would be.
This isn't the same one. This one's all red, white, and blue and stuff. But this will give you the idea. This thing is just ridiculous, man.
That looks like it's on a hockey rink.
Oh, look at that thing.
So that's what it would do when it was...
Yeah.
It would suck
oh
in the air.
God.
And then...
It would just take off. Yeah,
and,
it would just be pushed
and
around.
And like,
oh, my God, dude.
Ow.
It was just the sky was falling. Yeah, so, yeah. Current, I got to find the dude. Hey... Hats off to you for more power. Right? This guy was amazing. So
awesome.
That was my big weekend. You were in Canada, though, you said.
Yeah, it was just snowy.
Everything's snowy.
We did go see Bride Wars. It was funny. Anne Hathaway and some blonde chick and Murphy Brown. And
okay.
It was... Yeah, I'm not as good at giving
Goldie
movies...
Goldie Hawn's daughter. I can't think of her name right now.
I'm not as good at giving movie reviews as...
We'll go with
Goldie
Hawn's daughter. Yeah.
So, yeah. And it was... But it was so funny.
I saw the previews for that, the film we saw the other night, and I was like, oh, yeah. I'm not going to this.
Well, it attracted me.
Yeah, even Amber was like, I don't want to go to that.
It was
know.
Not too bad.
It was not too bad?
No.
The chick's fighting over some,
yeah.
some wedding or something? Yeah.
They're best friends, and they both plan their wedding on the same day.
Because that's what best friends do.
Well, no, they were going to have one was going to be in the first weekend, one was going to be the last weekend of June.
Okay.
But then the secretary, who ended up getting fired, of course.
Spoiler alert, by the way.
messed it up. And there, and then that sets up this action. Then they start playing pranks on each other to get the other because they keep getting miscommunications going on and
uh-huh.
Yeah, it was fun. It was definitely not the most brilliant of shows, but then again,
thanks for pointing that out.
But you don't
what
like
is it, Anne Hathaway?
The most
does?
Brilliant.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
yes, you could show me the most brilliant movie ever, and I'd be like.
And he'd still turn it off to watch Reno 99.
No, that's
yes,
a good
I
show.
Would.
I
yes,
got a kick
I
out
would.
Of that show. That show is pretty funny.
That's
too.
Pathetic.
It's a funny show.
It's really all I have to say. I felt myself getting dumber the last time Doug forced it upon me.
Well, speaking of getting dumber listening to this show, what happened...
It doesn't take much.
One thing I want to point out tonight, if you have... We haven't really mentioned this in a long while. If you have a commercial... For, you know, if you have a radio show or a podcast you're doing out there, and we know there's people in the listening audience that have their own shows, or a ghost hunting group, why, I don't really know. We've gotten a couple of them, and I'm not too sure about the logic of making a commercial for your ghost hunting group, but okay.
Why not? I think it's a great activity.
Well, I mean, if you got something
I mean,
to offer.
It's no, not even that. It would be a team building activity, I think.
Well, that as far as a project's concerned, that's totally cool, but you know, we got into this conversation. The other night, I got to thank the ladies over at Whispers in the Dark Radio.
Yeah.
You were supposed to be there, but you were working.
I ended up working.
You ended up working, and I told them, I'm like, oh, he's working, sorry. But I had a chat with these ladies. Came on their show, was it Thursday night? Yeah, Thursday night we dropped down there. On my way out to Amber's, I was on my little headset driving in the snowstorm. I'm like, yeah, this isn't dangerous.
Yeah, his
right?
doesn't echo.
It's clean. I love the thing.
I don't get
is it. Is it Bluetooth?
No.
That's why. Because
your
it's wired.
It's wired. It's hardwired.
Yeah. Echoes.
Yeah, my Bluetooth one echoes.
And it makes
crazy.
Me
this thing's
want
clean.
To
I love
shove
it. I mean, I checked it.
Somewhere where you'll never be able to use it again.
Well, no, we got into this conversation, and Jackie, one of the hosts, asked me, she's like, well, you know, I get emails, Scott, from ghost hunting groups that say, you know, how do we get our name out there? How do we promote ourselves? How do we do this? And she's like, what, you know, Scott, have you, first of all, have you received emails like this? And second of all, what do you tell them? I'm like, well, first of all, I have received emails like that. Second of all, I ask them why. Because, you know, I understand, like, if you, you know, if you're in your area, I guess, and you really, really want to get, you know, really fill up your schedule with nothing but ghost hunting, I could see where you would want to do that, to get your name out there so people know who you are so you can get investigations, right?
Right.
That's cool. That's the only reason I would see that, though, because, I mean, I've received things from people saying, you know, how do we promote ourselves? How do we set up a good PR system? How do we set up a good marketing model? I'm like, market? What are you marketing? What are you doing to... I don't get the marketing thing. It's a hobby, I thought. And that's
well,
what, you know, it's just...
I don't know. If, you know, I happen to have a copy of the MUFON manual, and a lot of the MUFON manual is marketing and developing relationships.
Developing relationships is, I'm all for that. That's what you need to do. That's what we do with this show. That's
but
what
they
we've done
do,
with our ghost hunting, too.
They do, according to manual, they do a lot of press releases and, you know, to try and get the name out. Because, I mean, if you see a UFO, you've got to know who to call, right?
Oh, yeah.
All we have... I know. This is... This is not going the way I intend this.
I see what you're saying.
But, I mean, really, who are you going to call if you see a ghost? I had
an
to say
an honest attempt at an intelligent conversation.
I had to say that because
right.
I saw the light in Bonnie's eyes.
I'm over it.
And darn, that was not as powerful as the conversation.
So,
anyway.
When you see a UFO... They're
right.
The people you go to.
You, and you know, because they have been in the news. They have
well, they,
been...
Well, they've done a lot of work. Yeah. They've been out there, so I'm seeing that.
And they also
they've
build relationships. PR, right? They go to the, you know, the local and county sheriffs, and they get...
Yeah.
You know, they build relationships.
And that's what it's all
and
about.
And I don't
I
blame them. I think that's a really good idea, because they do...
Oh, yeah.
You no. Homie
says
remember.
Call UFO busters.
You
no, I understand...
Homie's on track. I like
I
that.
Understand the... I understand building relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Ghostly Talk wouldn't be doing our show now if we didn't have great relationships with a lot of people
yeah,
that have helped us
true.
Out over the years. We would not be doing what we're doing now. Period. But again, why are you? It always comes back to this, though. Why are you building the relationships? I know in our case, we've been building these relationships because, one, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's really great to meet new people and learn from new people. Two, we just kind of help each other out and stuff like that, right? And that's really all it comes down to, I think. It's just very simple. We just, hey, it's really cool. Hey, met this really cool new person, you know, we're going to have on the show. Or, you know, they're doing this thing over here. They want to help us out or we want to help them out, whatever it may be. It's just as simple as that.
Right.
So when I do get these emails like, well, how do I get myself out there, Scott? How do I get myself on the scene? Hey, you know, it's like, well, first, it isn't a scene, all right? I don't get the scene thing, man. This isn't emo, all right? We're not, like, taking pictures of ourselves and putting them up on our MySpace page. I thought we were
yes,
doing...
they are.
Yes,
I don't
are.
Know what you're thinking.
Well, yeah, they are. That's why I don't think it's right, okay? I thought, you know, it's just coming down to the thing of, like, okay, I thought we were going to do some research here and try to learn things and go out there and maybe have an experience or two on these things like we've had over the years and stuff like that. It's just, it seems so much simpler that way to approach it from that standpoint.
Yeah.
As opposed to going, well, we need to put out a press release because we're going to be going to investigate Charlie's Chicken Shack this
That's
weekend.
A little premature. No. That's a
yeah,
little premature.
Yeah, man,
you don't
yeah.
you don't put out a press release in advance of your research, you know.
Well, yeah.
It's like a scientist putting out a press release, I am about to cure cancer. When
Hang
I do
tight.
My research.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that's a bit too premature. I think it should be afterwards, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but I, you know, I can see why people want to, you know, want to do these exercises.
Well, hey, look,
like the commercials, which is what we were talking about.
Well, that's, thanks for pulling that back.
That's a fantastic, that's a team building exercise.
No, and that's
it
cool.
It really is. You get together, you go, what can we say? What do, you
yeah.
know, we want to feel good about ourselves and what we're doing. So that it's completely different than PR. Well, I mean, it's unrelated because it would be a thing that if played on the air would be a PR kind of
activity. Okay, if it's...
But as an exercise, it's a fantastic exercise. Yeah. It'll help you get your goals in mind. It'll help you simply and easily state your purpose, your intentions, your desires, what you want to do with your group, and how your group acts and is going to, you know, carry themselves. It's a fantastic team-building exercise. And then what is better at the end of a team-building exercise than actually getting it played on the air?
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic.
And that's good. I'm cool with that. As long as the content still has things like, I think, you know, if we are in this area. This is where we're at, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you want us to come and check your place out, you know, I mean, just all the usual stuff. You know what I mean? Again, it comes back down to what are you doing this for?
Right.
And that's what I'm just hammering. The other night when I was talking to the ladies on Whispers in the Dark, at the end of the conversation, I'm like, it comes down to, after all this stuff we talked about, why are you here? What are you doing this for? What are your intentions, right?
Get a pilot.
Well, yeah, of course.
I want a pilot.
You know, you can't be crucified for that. I don't want to leave that impression on people. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you're not going to get crucified for that, but it's just like...
But
you know,
chances of actually getting on TV.
Don't come to me claiming to be a serious paranormal researcher that's been in the field for 2 weeks, and I'm telling myself.
And I have a MySpace page, and I have four letters.
And I've been on this show and this show.
I'm done with it, dude. We're bitching, I know, but I'm done with it, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't mean to get to this, but you know, I'm over it. I'm just totally over that.
Yeah.
And you'll see that coming up in the next, you know, with shows coming up. We're gonna be bringing on people that you've never heard of before. But they have amazing things and interesting things to say. And that's what the goal is. That's what we said last week. That's what the goal is for 2009, is to get as many thought-provoking things here on this show to get people to think and learn things, whether it be with UFOs, cryptozoology, whether it be with ghosts, of course, and things like that. But I'm not going to be worried about, well, how many seasons have you done of this show? Don't matter. It don't really matter. So, be that as it may, send your commercials in. No, if you have a show, if you're doing something that, you know, that's paranormally related, even sometimes, you know, depending on the context, I guess it don't really have to be paranormal related. Send it in to us. We'll play it. We're not charging anything for this kind of stuff. It's all done for free. That includes banners, too. You know, if you have a banner you want, we'll throw it into our rotation, so it'll pop up on the website and stuff like that. So audio, visual, whatever you want, send it to us, ghostlytalk@ghostlytalk.com or scottl@ghostlytalk.com. All the emails are on the contact page. So check that stuff out. Definitely check that out. So, yeah, there's a... Everybody getting serious here? What's going on here?
I'm serious.
What's the next topic? Because everybody got serious.
No, that's it. I'm good.
Well, we still got 8 minutes here. We got to figure something out.
We can talk about my pink fuzzy socks.
Well, where'd you get those from?
I don't know, but feel them.
I don't want to feel them.
Feel them.
They look
feel them.
Get that claw off of my damn chair.
Not until you feel them. Feel them. Rub them.
I'm not rubbing anything.
Rub them.
I want to rub your feet.
Rub the top. I don't want you to touch the bottom because I'll kill you.
Oh, yeah, she will kick top. If you rub the bottom.
That's See, they're awesome.
Are they like that on the inside, though?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, what I've been feeling here is... It's soft. Like a baby's bottom. It's
Doug,
really
do you
soft.
Want to
yes,
feel
Yes, I do. I'll be right
on.
Oh, God.
I'm coming over.
Howard Stern, eat your heart out. Was it good for you, Doug?
Yes, that was amazing.
I think I need a break after
What were your impressions of the foot?
I want socks like that.
What you want?
I want socks like that. Or a shirt.
A shirt.
And then people will be like, hey.
A shirt like
all
that
over
would
me.
Be
yeah.
great.
That would be amazing.
Oh. Okay, next topic, please. My goodness.
I'm sorry. It was completely random. I'll shut up now.
No, that's okay. Okay. Nice socks,
the first
Bonnie.
Half hour
good socks.
We get to talk about anything we want.
Good socks.
I want a bra like this.
I have
me
one
too.
Like
Whoa, oh. what?
I'm just joking around. I don't have a bra like that. I know there's people in the listening audience who'd like me to have a bra like that, but sorry, guys. I hate to disappoint.
They're like, I knew it. Oh, then
you
renamed.
It's not going to happen, man. Just not going to happen. Yeah, so again, just submit anything you want. They're here. They're I just want to... Well, we haven't talked about that in a while.
Right.
You know, that includes bands, too. If you're in a band, we're ramping everything up for 2009 again here, all new fresh material, stuff like that for the show. If you're in a band, send it our way, please. Just send us an email saying, hey, you can use this tune if you want. Attach it as an MP3. If you really want to send it to us, what I tell people, I send these emails out and stuff. If you really want to send us a CD of your music and stuff like that, that includes commercials, too. You can send them to us via mail. The address is P.O. Box 321, Warren, Michigan,
yeah.
48090, and that's Ghostly Talks P.O. Box. You can send those via CD, but, you know, let's save the money, too. I hate to see you guys throwing money away on CDs and stuff like that when you could just send it to us, you know, via an email with an MP3
right.
file or something.
Or a link
like
or whatever, one of them file sends.
Yeah, whatever. So, yeah, whatever is easiest for you. Put it up, you know, down, give me somewhere to
we're
download.
Flexible.
I don't care, whatever you want to do. Whatever the cheapest way to do it is, do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, thrust it over anytime.
Thrust it over.
Oh, wrong timing.
Yeah, thrust it over. 5 minutes, what else do we want to throw off here, people?
I was trying to get Bonnie to spit sweet tea, but it didn't work. Yeah.
5 minutes, guys.
You know what she does in the chat rooms, right?
Yeah.
Or what the chat room people do? They try to get her to laugh or say things on the air during the show.
Yeah.
So occasionally we're sitting there talking about, you know, serious stuff.
Very serious
stuff. And all of a sudden, Bonnie bends over and goes
away. Could you rephrase that? Please. My God, Doug. What kind of show is this?
It's definitely becoming a different kind of show than usual.
No, they definitely make it difficult to keep a straight face.
That I believe.
While I can't read chat and not have to laugh at times because Tanya says we're bad tonight, and yes, we are. I apologize for that right now, but. Some people have made it their personal mission to get me to crack up laughing on the air.
Yes.
Which, you can all stop now, because Amber did it last week, so you don't have to try anymore. New mission.
New mission.
And it's not to make me pee my pants, Doug.
Oh, I like that one. I've been working on that. Spit sweet tea across the room would be interesting.
Well, okay, do you want me to spit in this room?
Not at me.
Okay.
On the wall would be okay.
Well, if it changes the color, I'm all for it.
But did you hear about this other one, too?
What?
Did I mention this to you this week?
Oh, yes.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
You're dead serious?
We only got a couple minutes, so we'll...
A&E is doing Paranormal Cops. It's got a couple of...
Paranormal
Cops
series
policemen.
Planned. Yeah.
Chicago policemen are running around trying to...
I
don't know.
This is just...
You want to know how excited I am about it? Woo.
That's how I feel, too. It's a new low, I think. It's just a new low.
I'm definitely not going to be tuning into that, much like the other paranormal-related shows or so-called paranormal-related shows that there are out there.
I'm, like, pretty much, like, down with boycotting cable now. I'm, like, I'm down with that.
I rarely watch it, except for...
You know... Here and there, you know, something pops on. It's usually a DVD, like I said, in my thing. I just watch that stuff. But, yeah, go ahead.
We must have something.
Tanya, get a new mission, because that's not going to happen. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, so there's a...
It's all a go in the chat rooms. You know, when we are live, we're live on Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Bonnie is in the chat room, and evidently it's quite a lively chat room. www.ghostlytalk.com and click on the chat over on the left.
Yeah. Check that
help
out, too.
Make Bonnie's night.
No, because I need help. Lots and lots of help.
So, yeah, there's an official press release on that, though, of course.
Yes.
You know, who are you going to call? How about 911? A&E is seeking to one-up Sci-Fi's Ghost Hunters with a new series that blends paranormal investigation with law enforcement.
Oh.
Good luck to you guys on that little venture. I hope it works out for you really well.
It's a good thing Bonnie has chat, because... I didn't find anything about Paranormal Cops funny.
We've been putting money on this.
She's actually making a face. Oh, that's great.
What now?
She can't even speak.
Jeez,
you don't
Christ,
have to pull her out of channel because she can't even speak.
Now we finally have real paranormal police. Think about it.
Oh.
Yeah. Actually, that's pretty damn funny, Bonnie, I have to say.
That was Tanya. That was all Tanya.
This is just... when's it going to end?
Okay, well, that's good. I'll watch them for that.
When's it going to end, man?
Not soon enough, I'm afraid.
I saw that one this week. I'm like, okay, what's next? And I've heard of a couple other ones, too. I don't have them in front of me.
Right.
But I've heard of some that are even more ridiculous than that.
Yeah.
Paranormal
exterminators. I think that would be great. We need some Terminex people running around
Literally, we got to go to break like right now. But literally, it's going to get more and more hilarious, right? And this
you
whole...
get rid of your pests and your poltergeist.
Yeah, ooh! I think we got an idea for a pilot there, Doug.
Ooh.
Oh, there we
can
go.
Can we please be the next ones to film a pilot?
Me, a can of Raid, and a video camera. I'm all set. Coming up next, Eugene and Mary Yelchin. We're going to talk about The Ghost File.
Yeah.
Next,
another children's book, which is
I think it's fantastic.
We'll be right back after this.
Ghostly Talk!
Station 3.0.
I say, Sean B., I've been thinking about all the things necessary to produce a proper paranormal broadcast.
Do tell, Nathan S., what are these vital qualities?
Empathy, commitment, quiet dignity, and self-respect.
Indeed! What a shame we don't have any of those traits!
Oh yeah, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's drive time paranormal broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostandhumans.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week we'll be bringing you the best and the worst of kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
www.ghostandhemon.com. The Ghost Planet Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast.
Hey, it's Wolfman Mac with Wolfman Mac's Nightmare Cinema. We host classic B, horror, and sci-fi movies. All the good stuff that you grew up with as a kid. And we show them every single month here in Detroit area, but guess what, boys and girls? It's coming to you soon via the internet. To find out more, visit www.nightmarecinema.com. That's S-I-N-E-M-A. It's Wolfman Mac. Scare you later, babies.
Hey, buddy, nice to meet ya. Won't bother shaking your hand. Cause pretty soon I'll be leaving. It always happens so fast. We'll be right back.
Okay, this is Dream Team. We're ready for EVP sweep.
That is weird. These cameras don't do this.
Water supposedly will come off and on in various rooms.
It's an EMF meter started this whole chaos.
You're listening to the number one source for paranormal evidence brought to you firsthand by real investigators in the field. No hoaxes, no disinformation. You're listening to The Ghost Project.
I found myself face to face with someone or something that was attempting to play with my psyche as well as my physical being.
How sure are you of that?
I'm 100% sure of that.
We are the Panther City Ghost Group, and we've been in business for over 40 years, serving the metropolitan area and beyond. Hi, my name is Dan Shoemaker, and my father started this business in 1967, and I carry on that great tradition of great low prices. This week only, get a complete investigation plus a house blessing for only $299.99. And we'll help you quit smoking, drinking, or break any old bad habits with an exorcism for only $49.99.99. I'm a licensed deliverance minister and pastor of the New Hope United Church. Come out and see us sometime at Sunday service here, right here in exit 217 East Babylonian Avenue. And remember, we're ready to believe you for the right price. The Panther City Ghost Group, for all your paranormal needs. Call us toll free at 1-877-555-1375. That's 1-877-555-1375. Or visit us on the web at www.pandercityghosts.com.
You're listening to Ghostly Talk with Doug, Scott L., and Bonnie.
Ghost Files by Eugene and Mary Yelchin is a cheeky and interactive resource on all things ghost-related for children. It can be found at www.harpercollinschildrens.com, mm-hmm. which, of course, will be permanently linked up at ghostlytalk.com.
Oh, yeah.
HarperCollinsChildrens.com. And Ghostly Talk would like to welcome Eugene and Mary Yelchin, creators of the Ghost Files, to Ghostly Talk. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's really good to have you guys on and talk about this. You know, we've been seeing a few more children's books coming into the paranormal now, which I think this is another great addition. I just want to ask you guys, like, because a children's book is kind of it's a different thing to do, I think, especially if you're an adult, right? I mean, I've never known, but I'm wondering what inspired you guys to put this work together and put it out.
Well, we had wanted to do a book that was interactive, and we thought that ghosts actually was kind of an underexplored area, especially for children. And kids tend to be really interested in the idea of ghosts, and many of them maybe not very frightened either, but they also feel, I don't know, maybe more frightened because they don't know very much. And so we thought that if through interaction, like you might be thinking of interacting with a ghost, if you interacted with our books, it might let you kind of open up to the idea of a ghost without being frightened. And so it felt like a logical combination, basically, an interactive book about ghosts.
That's right. And the what we were really interested in is to do not make fun of it, make it presented as a serious subject, as a subject that has a very long history,
mm-hmm.
That we all... children and adults, interestingly, the book, even though it is marketed by HarperCollins for children 10 and up, we had a great response from adults, and particularly from adults who are interested in paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
There are some stories in the book that we gathered that were not familiar to many people, and it opened up their eyes and hopefully their senses to things they were not familiar with.
Well, I know my... Well, go ahead, Doug.
I was going to say, very interesting, because the, you know, obviously, I think, because I've, you know, been, I've I've grown up, and I've gone to parties, and I've gone to...
Christ, there weren't books when you were born.
Well, they were etching.
Was there paper?
They were cave drawings. But no, I've grown up with all this stuff, and it really is, for the most part, what you have access to is stories. I mean, not necessarily books, because when you're a child, most of the stuff that you're doing is talking, and you're conveying to other children, you're conveying to other people your fears, essentially, because you're not very well read yet, because you haven't studied everything you wanted or needed to study. Mm-hmm. So you hear a story, and then you convey it to another kid with some changes and stuff. So it's all like word of mouth, and you may not get the opportunity to learn at this kind of level.
When it comes to the paranormal, I mean, there have been books in the past, right?
Yeah.
And I have to cite the greatest example in the world. My favorite example is Haunted Houses by Larry Kettelkamp.
Right.
I always plan, this is for you also, Eugene and Mary. This book's about 400 years old. It's about as old as Doug is, right? This book is very old. But it's just a little book I found at a garage sale when I was a kid. And it's only like about 80 pages long. It's, pretty good size typeface, throughout the book. But it's just got a couple of really cool stories, and then it kind of gets into some theory on the end. Right? I don't think it was really put under like children's paranormal, but it was just a simple little introduction, you know what I mean? Where, that's why I find this ghost battle so appeasing.
But it lacks the interactive aspect.
Well, yeah, and I want to get into that.
Well, that's very modern kind of way of presenting a book. Here's the story. The kids nowadays are so overstimulated by, Mary, do you want to pick this up?
Well, we were thinking about how kids are, in a way, and this is not meant as a judgment, it's just a kind of like a reality of how it is for kids now, that they have so many options for entertainment and distraction and stuff to do, that in some ways I think they've started to shut down their senses to kind of,
To cope with all this. Not only kids, but, adults too, because there's such overstimulation of senses that as a result, as Mary's saying, our senses are shutting down. And it's, in children particularly, because it's so new and so fragile still. So our hope is clearly not compete with it, but to, in a way, focus their attention in such a way that they're focused upon themselves. Through the interaction with that book, they focus on this, because the whole purpose of the book is to have the children come in touch with their senses, come in touch with their perception, not to be afraid of things they don't know and don't understand, try to persuade them not to look away. And it's even in the title. It says how to see a ghost when you much prefer to look away.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are very good, how to make contact.
So, but I think it's also just the idea of that to see or perceive a ghost, you have to open your senses and then also trust what you are feeling or smelling or whatever your senses are being alerted, that you can sort of like a trail, you can follow that trail down, and instead of saying no, this is wrong, what I'm feeling, this is not, I should distract myself, I should look away, it's actually saying, be calm and just open yourself up. And we think that felt really positive for us, because we're creative people, and I think that, as artists, we're always having the challenge of keeping our senses open.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a natural thing for us to sort of make the same argument with seeing ghosts. And so the book is, and the point of the book is that it's fun, and it's supposed to be fun and interactive, and that's one of the reasons why, we felt like you can have an experience with paranormal that is fun rather than frightening.
That's right. And we'll book by asking our readers a few questions. There are, maybe for a doll, they're familiar, but for children, it makes them kind of focus and start thinking. We ask them, do you ever feel someone is near you, even when nobody's there?
Mm-hmm.
Do you sometimes see things that others don't? Do you ever know something will happen before it does? Do your dreams ever come true? Do you observe coincidences often? Do you trust your intuition? Do you follow your instincts? And as a result of that, instead of thinking, oh, I'm kind of a freak, you know, I see things others don't.
Yeah.
On contrary, you feel that you have a certain value in you that you need to explore.
This is really good because we had interviewed or talked to Bro Perkins, right?
Yeah, a while back. A couple times.
Who ended up becoming, you know, a gifted psychic in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And his main complaint, his main thing, one of the things that he was really perturbed about was his childhood,
mm-hmm.
in that he was told over and over and over, or felt, you know, continually that he was out of place, that he was wrong, he was bad, he was, something was wrong, this is not good. And even though the things he was seeing and happening to him was through loved ones, you know, deceased loved ones,
mm-hmm.
it's still... you know, nobody else sees them. Nobody else hears them. Something's wrong with me. And nobody's there to tell you, you know what, you got to trust that. You can learn from these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You can grow from these experiences. He overcame the childhood thing, but I wonder how many people turned all that stuff off.
Yeah, and you shut down.
In order to cope, they just put up a big wall.
I think you're absolutely right. I'm sure there's an argument that we, just as human race, had certain qualities and certain senses that we stopped using for hundreds of years, but some of us still have it, you know, and those who do are able to perceive things that most don't, or choose not to because they don't know how to, you know, people don't want to be bored, so they want to be entertained. As a result of that constant,
mm-hmm.
you know, overstimulation, they just don't listen to themselves, what's happening in their bodies and their minds.
Well, I think... go ahead, Mary, I'm sorry.
Oh, I just said, it just seems like, you know, that just felt like the book felt really right for us on that principle, on that sort of, emotional... extension to children, to say to make them feel like they're those feelings that they were having, like you described the psychic was having, were things that you actually could feel that made you a more not important person, because I don't want to privilege it, but somebody who was special, and that you can embrace being special,
mm-hmm.
if you go for it, rather than if you know feeling unlike other people. And, you know, the thing is, it's probably still just as bad as it was for that psychic, for kids now. People act like their kids act like they seem so grown up now, and they seem so adult and sophisticated. I think they still, you know, people don't really feel comfortable around people who are listening harder, you know?
Yeah.
But if they can find it in a book that's, kind of meant, you know, like you said, I like how you said it was cheeky. You know, we're having some fun, too. So it's not just, you know, heavy or mean or, you know, like not mean or like scary or something. It's like, you know, we're having some fun with it because you have to have fun about it. I wanted to say just one quick thing, which is that when we were doing the book, Eugene, who did all the artwork in it, he would say to me, you know, we have too many stories. There's so many stories. We have to reduce the stories. And
the amount of stories,
yeah.
that, as you know,
I mean,
as we were talking about before, yeah.
And I kept saying to Eugene, but the thing is about ghosts is that ghosts are stories. I mean, they are narrative.
Right.
They are like stories of lives, or they kind of ghostly phenomena kind of unfolds in a story-like way. And I think that's another thing that is so appealing about it. What we deal specifically here is with spirits, so we don't get into much other paranormal issues. But for us, it was spirits and ghosts, and they come with stories.
That's
and
right.
I think that's also really a pleasant and appealing part of the book.
You know, overall, it was sort of the our drive for something that we ourselves believe in. And we want to encourage the readers to see themselves as potential mediums.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really interesting to us, and seems like, at the end of the book later on, we sort of, there's a whole list of, things how to see life and death as fluid states of being, and how to let senses be your guide and things like that.
Well, one thing I just, while we've been talking about this, one thing that I did think about concerning the book is that if you're a child nowadays, and you're seeing things and you're feeling things, you're hearing things, whatever any of your senses might yield that you, you know, as a child might consider, obscure or not normal according to what our standards are of normal, it seems like you could take a book like this as a parent, right? Because, you know, I think, you know, we've kind of talked about how children are so desensitized now, right? And there's just so much sensory input out there. When you know, just the computer alone will just, it'll just shut you down. But when a child is feeling this way, it seems like a parent could take a book like this and go, look, you know, if Timmy says, you know, Mom, I'm seeing, you know, weird things. I saw Grandma, who's been dead for 10 years, you know, chilling on the chair outside in the living, you know, out there in the living room and stuff. It seems like a parent could take this book and use it as a tool, not to just go shove it in their face like they do like a video game or Barney or something like that, and go play with this and leave me alone, but go, here, take a look at this book, read this book, and see if there you can relate to some stuff in here, right? Or kind of maybe even use it as a checklist maybe of some sort to go, you know, are you seeing these things? Are you feeling these things? Do you guys think that would kind of work with parents also?
Great idea.
Absolutely. And we there were a couple of reviews that came out in the book that specifically mentioned the same thing. They wanted, they felt that it's a book that can be read in a group. It's a book that a good interactive book between parent and child, mm-hmm. or several children together. There's even, you know, we have a talking board included. So there's a potential for actual a complete engagement, physical engagement, intellectual engagement, mm-hmm. and sensory engagement with the book.
And the book also is it's mostly in an overview, and it does touch on sort of all aspects of spirit contact and spirit apparitions and appearances, but it also gives a wide view of other cultures and how in places like Africa or Japan and different countries, mm-hmm. that it's much more a part of the daily life to have spirits and ghosts. And we feel that that's a nice thing specifically for American kids to be exposed to, because in America there's a real separation between, you know, something, if the ghost or it's a paranormal, it also often appears in like horror films.
Yeah.
And those movies are scary, period. And so if a kid were to be exploring the paranormal and then they were looking for sources on it and they went to movies, they would probably just get scared.
Get the heck scared out of them, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Whereas this shows that it's as much as it's part of death, it's a part of life. And in some cultures, it is in there hand in hand. And so I think that's another kind of embracing thing about the book.
In fact, the first chapter of the book, or one of the first chapters of the book, is on ancient ghosts, and it's called Ancient Ghosts, or Imagine a Time When Nobody Was Scared.
Mm-hmm.
And so from this, we kind of ease our way into other cultures that still have that, have that attitude, particularly Asian, African. There's a big chapter on Japanese spirits and ghosts and demons and how people interact with them in their daily lives now.
Well, and there is a definite separation here. I have to agree. I'm sure it's much different here in America because there is that dividing line, like you guys said, between reality and fantasy. What I think is happening now, though, in the present state of the study of the paranormal, is there is a lot more exposure, obviously, now. So I think that line is being kind of blurred a little bit more. But it is a matter of the impression you get, though, and I think it still is standing nowadays in our films.
I like that. I like that there is the blurring. It's more acceptable now to talk about ghosts than it was even 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
However, I think that there is a lack of tools like this because it's mm-hmm. still easier. It's still easier to say to your kid who is crying in the middle of the night, I saw something, I heard something, whatever, say there's no such thing as ghosts.
Yeah, go to bed.
It's so much easier to say that and then send them off and just, you know, finish up your night sleep and your kid has been dealt with or whatever. Then sitting them down and saying, well, you know, maybe they just want to
talk this thing over a little
bit, they just want to say hi, you know, and just, you know, go to bed. They'll talk, you know, tell them this is not an appropriate time. We'll talk tomorrow. You know, but they don't.
Right.
But it's so much easier to say there's no such thing as ghosts and send your kid to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of tool will help that.
Well, there was an article in Time magazine this year that said that it had done some sort of a study, and it said that 90% of Americans believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
So, you know, you know, it's really a high number, if you think
that's
about it.
Very high.
Yes,
awesome.
And so if they're saying that to their children when they're saying goodnight, you know, or when they're up in the middle of the night, then you've got a high odds that person believes in ghosts. Who's saying there are no ghosts,
absolutely.
Right?
Well, yeah, that includes, I was going to say that includes the parents, too.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So if there's a way for everybody to have a conversation where it's sort of invited into the world and it's existing there, and you could have a very, you know, sweet kind of gentle way of saying, oh my goodness, what are your senses telling you? Is it
right.
something that you can feel good about, you can feel comfortable with? You know, why not?
And as a result of exactly that, we also stressed, for the reader, for the young reader particularly, try to imagine how a spirit or a ghost might feel.
Mm-hmm.
We want our readers to practice compassion because many ghosts have a painful past. You know, that's the kind of direction that we will hope and our readers will go with this book, and the book is specifically a tool for that, is to opening it up and feeling compassionate to things that are obscure or not clear to them yet.
Mm-hmm. I think actually the movie Sixth Sense did that very well, in fact, of sort of scary movies. You know, the entry into the movie is scary, and a lot of it is scary, but once it resolves, that's what that boy learns, right? Mm. That he has this thing and he has to sort
of... Yeah, I still wouldn't want my kid to watch the movie.
I agree. It's really for adults.
Yeah.
Yes, it's true, but I mean the sentiments are similar. But that actually what Eugene was just describing is at the end of the book, and in that section it's fun because it invites the reader to check out their own house.
Right.
For the potentially, you know, being haunted or having any presence in their own home.
And so is your home haunted, or what do you really know about your house?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we give the readers kind of the tools, history of the house, things about sounds and smell and presences and objects, and how one can become sort of a detective in your own house. And it's the same thing. As you pay attention to yourself, as we mentioned earlier, to your senses, your feelings, we also try to teach them how to pay attention to the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than shut the environment out and you know, but really study it, really understand that you are part of this one, you know, universe.
Do you have children? Any of the?
Oh God!
Thank heaven! No, they won't let us.
They won't. Yeah, we're not allowed.
No, but I have nieces. I have nieces who one of them in particular went through an interesting phase where she seemed to have the ability to see or feel or whatever these interesting things that just weren't accessible to my brother, who, you know, her father is my brother. And,
yeah.
And, but my brother, instead of saying, fortunately, you know, I'm a ghost hunter, an amateur ghost hunter, as well as, you know, I talk about it for 3 hours a week on there, and they all know this, you know. So my
Hang
brother...
Hang on, let me get Doug.
Yeah, my brother did not say, you know, oh, there's no such thing as ghosts, right? Instead, he says, well, you know, maybe they want to talk to you, but you have to tell them, you know, tonight's not the right time.
Yeah.
So that's what he did instead. And you know, a little bit, you know, came here and there, but for the most part, she's been unbothered by them now that she sees that I accept them.
Yeah,
just as a matter of fact. So she's been going. So I've only had for children, I've only had the experience with my niece, my young niece.
Unfortunately, guys, we are like right at the. We gotta go to break.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is such a bummer too, because we're having such a good time talking to you guys. Also, my goodness.
Well, thank
yeah.
you.
Well,
one last thing I
yeah.
want to say is that I
yeah.
want to thank you for all of this. The book is available on Amazon
oh, okay.
and on
Excellent.
Any major book sites. So please check it out.
Yeah,
so,
sure. yeah. Tight. Don't hang on for a second, guys. Don't
hang on the
yet.
Line. Don't go away. So you guys, the book is Ghost Files, and so you can
Fantastic.
Look up on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or anywhere.
Right. It's called Ghost Files, The Haunting Truth.
Excellent.
That's the full title.
Okay. Ghost
excellent.
Files, The
Ghost
Haunting
Files,
Truth.
Ghost Files, The Haunting Truth by Eugene and Mary Yelchin. So, excellent.
Fantastic, guys. Again, thank you for joining us. Stand the line. Don't leave us just yet. We're just going to go
okay.
break here. Hang tight.
Yeah.
God, what a thought-provoking half hour.
Man, it's about time tools like this became available
yeah,
to parents
you know?
And to children and to teachers and to people who have to deal with young ones who go
yeah.
through this kind of thing. Coming up next,
yeah.
Victoria Kelly from VenusRising.com. I can't wait. This is going to be awesome.
Oh, sorry, dude. Bye-bye.
For more info, visit GhostlyTalk.com.